Hi, everybody. This is Lori, and welcome to our podcast, Inclusivity Podcast, TEA. And on our podcast, we talk about everything to do with sustainable living. And for us, sustainable living includes not only taking care of the planet, but taking care of each other. And it includes equity and justice and creativity and kindness. And I'm extraordinarily excited today because I think my guest covers literally all of that. I think that Jocelyn Johnson, who is my guest today, is just an inspiration and is going to talk to us today about her business, but also about why it's important for us to support Black-owned businesses and how that helps create a sustainable future where we all thrive. Because as we believe here, and I suspect Jocelyn believes the same, if we don't do that, if we don't start increasing equity, if we don't reach out and take care of all of us, recognizing that we are all part of the same family, we can't have a future. That we're at that point where not only do we have to protect the earth, but we have to protect each other. Before I let Jocelyn start talking, I just want to remind everybody that our partners are Black Iowa News, run by our co-host Dana, and Alliance for Sustainability, both of whom have similar missions to ours. And my other co-host is Aaliyah Williams. And so they're not here today, but shout out to both of them. And Jocelyn, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Lori. I'm so excited to be here. And it's great to see you again. It's been a while.
It's lovely to see you as well. I met Jocelyn when I was working on a sustainability challenge project that we didn't end up doing, a whole host of reasons why, but she was so inspirational that I told her before we came on that I'm constantly thinking, how can I bring her in? What would I have for Jocelyn to work on? Because I just like to be in her presence and think she makes me better when we're collaborating. So anyway, that's sort of my story about why you're here. Now, Jocelyn, you own a production company and you were just telling me you've also just started your own record label.
I did just.
So I want to hear about all of that.
We're going to break all of that good stuff down. I'm Jocelyn P. Johnson, born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota, to amazing parents who are retired now, educators. In my father is W. Rayford Johnson, retired musician, taught Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, Mint Condition, you know, music management, composing, touring. He has his own band, all that good stuff. To my mom, retired principal, right? So I grew up in a very structured home. There was constantly music playing. My dad and I have our own song together. My dad was always in the theater. So I was running around the theater, running around the music studio with my father. So that's a little where I gained some of my natural skills, I would say. I've always been an artsy fartsy type of person. I went to Alabama State University and majored in theater arts, minored in African anthropology, because I am just enthralled by cultures and learning more about them and exploring theater and storytelling. So what better way to start a production company? I started my production company in 2014 in Los Angeles, California, where I was acting and modeling and was around so many creatives that, you know, once our shows were done, what do? You're out of work. And at the time, I'm not going to date myself by stating the TV shows I was on, but by the time the NBC series ended, it was like, what do? You know? So I started writing. I had writers groups at my place and we would do like acting workshops. And I said, this is a great creative collective and everyone's independent. Why not create a production company that's independent where we have just a collective of writers, producers, musicians, models, the whole gamut. And so we started with a web series. It was called Bass Fire. It was about a vampire that bites the derriere and a dramedy, which is hilarious. But we ended up pitching it to a couple of people that were connected to TNT, and they got wind of it and liked it. And a model, a touring dancer, and had an opportunity to write and pitch a show to William Morris Entertainment. And they liked my show idea, which was a reality show about the dance group and model group that I was touring with. We had a bidding war between BET, Lifetime and OWN, and BET won. This is back in 2016. I got the phone call from BET and they said, yes, we're going to take the show. And I'm like, yay, finally. We pitched it in 2014. And those that know in the entertainment industry, things happen over time because you have to go through the cycles of, is this going to last? What is the demographic and so forth? So 2 years later, after I created Jalapeno Productions in 2014, pitched the show, contacted my cast, and everyone went that way, this way. No one wanted to come back together, unfortunately. So we moved past that show. And since then, I've been writing dramedies. I've been writing movies that would fit into like Lifetime and HBO Max and Hulu. And then that brought me to Minnesota. My family's here, my parents are here. And just a different establishment of me is here, I'll say that. I've been dancing and acting and modeling in Minnesota since I was about 2-3 years old. So this has always been like a hub for me. And it made sense, of course, when I come home and start Jalapeno Productions, like I want it to be the Paramount Studios of Minnesota. That is my dream, right? And so we did our first feature film last year, partnered up with WQY Radio and Glow of Pack Materials, LLC. We created We Next Artists, which is a documentary about 5 artists on the east side of St. Paul and their journey, up and coming stories of from rags to riches for the most part, and the land, the indigenous land that they're on. We've created more web series. I also am currently pitching shows. So I can't talk about the shows that I am pitching. But I manage 2 Afrofusion artists, which is really exciting. I love Afrofusion music. It comes from Africa, obviously. And the origin is specifically Nigeria. And both of my artists are from Nigeria, one from Lagos and one from Port-au-Port. So, in managing Barry, that boy Barry, I decided to start up a record label. It's called 42 Music. And since I had Jalapeno Productions, I figured why not have a hub where I can have film, TV, documentaries, and music, soundtracks, and publishing within the same realm. So I created the music publishing and the music label underneath the production company just to keep everything in-house and to further develop the talent that was coming my way. And just to backtrack, as I give everyone history of the many things on my resume, I was an agency director of the state of Minnesota for John Casablancas and model and talent management. I did that for about 3.5 years from 2018 to about 2017 to 2020. So when the pandemic hit, I had to close my doors in Bloomington, Minnesota, unfortunately. But I was able to teach acting and modeling and book my talent for shows at the Guthrie, U Children's Theater, Minnesota Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and so forth. We even had a couple of main roles up for the Respect movie that Jennifer Hudson was in, because they did 2 Respect movies. So we've had a great track record, and I was very thankful to be able to hold that position. But now I am really just focusing on Jalapeno Productions and making sure that we have a sustainable future here in the state of Minnesota.
I'm once again just amazed by everything you've done. You are just so impressive, and
thank you.
I love all of it and am excited. I wanted to ask for you, as you think about, you know, managing musicians and things like that, do you have a specific way that you look for people and that you choose people to work with? How do you go about that?
Great question. I think every music manager has a different answer for that, but I would say the one thing we have in common is the feeling that we get from that person when they're expressing their art, their craft. What feeling do they evoke in us? Are they making me happy, sad? Are they putting me in a relaxed mood? Are they improving my mood? And how does the audience react? What is the feedback that you're receiving from them? That lets you know, okay, this is a serious artist. They're thoughtful of their words and their intentions. And if they also take constructive criticism, I think that's huge for me, because I come from retired educators.
Right.
So if something is incorrect, you are corrected in the moment and you move on. So when it comes to being a music manager, I look for the feeling, and if they can take direction, and if their intentions are pure.
One more personal question before we move on. If you had to sort of define your life message, or the sort of how you view yourself, or if you had to sort of, in a nutshell, tell us who you are, what you believe, how would you define that? It's a hard question.
I love hard questions. I am light. I am light. I am love. I am here to give back as a humanitarian, not just through the entertainment industry, but through all the gifts that God has given to me. I'm here to make the world a better place as best as I possibly can. And that is expressed through my encouragement for those that are looking to just expand upon their art and their craft. I'm also just interested in helping. I've always been a helper. So I'm just a person that's very focused and infectiously ambitious and dedicated to my work. So
you are light. I like that. So
I am light.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And such an kind of all-encompassing, expansive statement.
Because it allows you to evolve
so much.
Right?
Yeah.
It allows the evolution to continue on, because that's exactly what light does. Even if there's a spark of light in the darkness, or there's light everywhere, as you can see in the background here, you know, I am light.
And the other thing that light does is, which you just mentioned, is that shining into the darkness. Yeah. So as I think about creating a sustainable future, I like to think of all of us as being a light that shines into the darkness and brings us forward into something positive and helpful. Again, before I ask you about supporting Black-owned businesses, I just want to ask, if you were talking to someone younger who's interested in production or interested in music or art, what would you say to them? What words of wisdom, again, short, but what words of wisdom would you give?
I would say research. Research as much as you possibly can. Listen to podcasts, YouTube University. Find a mentor, someone that can guide you, so that you know the rules and then how to play within the rules. Structure and then creativity. That's what the entertainment industry is.
Really, really good. So this kind of brings us to the bigger topic that we wanted to talk about a little bit. Is I wanted to just ask from your perspective why you think it is important, as we do, that we support Black-owned businesses and that we make an effort to support, frankly, to support businesses that are not run simply by white men, who have tended historically to run most of the businesses and get most of the support in that area. So why do you think that's important as we move toward creating a sustainable future?
I think it's important for the longevity of humanity. Existence began with us. It started with us. We are the breadwinners. We are the water bearers. We are the storytellers. And if we lack in any area, our brothers and our sisters, I believe, are supposed to guide you and support you along the journey. When we lack in that support and in that guidance, we can lose our way. And that's obvious. When you look to my community in North Minneapolis, and we do have Black businesses in North Minneapolis that have been there now 2-3 years beyond the pandemic. That is amazing. In the past, not so much. Do we need more businesses that are sustainable, that people support, that those business owners have guides that know how to run business, that know marketing, that know how to keep the ball rolling? Yes, we need the same support as 3M, as Target, as Best Buy. That same support has to go back into our communities, whether that's North Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, New Orleans, Los Angeles, wherever it is in the world. We must be supported. We are such a profound people. We're so creative and in sync that our light that we shine through our creativity and through our gifts to the world affects everyone. You can see that in music. You can see that in apparel and clothing and fashion. You can see that in automobiles. You can see that when you flip on your light switch, when you go to the stoplight, right? When you wash your clothes, when you pick out your cotton shirt, when you look at Washington, D.C., we built that. And for us not to be supported for the sustainability of the businesses that we want to create and that we're creating so that our family and our bloodline and our legacy can be sustained, it's so disheartening and can be very discouraging when we're not supported by all. Because we are all one. Underneath all of this, we are one. No matter what color this is, we are all one. And we together have got to support one another, regardless if it's a mom and pop or a Fortune 50 or 500 company. This is a very passionate subject for me, as you can see. As I continue to hustle for my business, because it's a hustle every single day. There aren't many African-American female ran, indigenous ran film TV production companies in the state of Minnesota. I believe besides Jijini Productions, Allison Gesu, who's one of my favorite directors in the Twin Cities, we've worked together. I believe there's another young lady, but besides that, it's just us. So we have to be creative. We have to look for grants. We have to reach out to different organizations. Hey, this is what we have going on. Knock, 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 knock. And so even though we're making noise, even though our communities know a little bit more about us, even though we're getting awards from Sundance or Cannes Film Festival or Pan-African Film Festival, even though we're getting that recognition within our industry, right here at home is where we need that support, is where we need to feel loved on and supported by our own, but by all. So the same way that you say, oh my gosh, I need a new CD. I want to listen to a new artist. I'm going to go to Best Buy. I'm going to go to Target. I'm going to download from iTunes. You can also say, oh my gosh, Joplinay Productions has 2 new artists, Barry and Angie Bay. I'm going to at That Boy Barry, at Legendary_Bay. I'm going to purchase their music. I'm going to go support them at their shows. I'm going to purchase their apparel to support them and show them that I care, because we are one. And the way we move forward with sustainable living and the way that things are going right now is support. In the future, who knows if there will be a dollar bill or Bitcoin or NFTs, right? For the sustainability of the earth, because NFTs and the Bitcoin were drilling into the earth, right? All that technology, does that really sustain the earth? So are we going to get back to where our ancestors traded services and products that they made from their hands for services and products, right?
Yeah.
And I know you and I have had this conversation before. We have, like, if we could just return back to, you need some basil? Here you go. Here's some sugar cane.
Right.
You know, if we could get back to that. And I'm so grateful for you, Lori, because your company, Exclusive Tea, is founded on that mission that we are one, that we give back. And this is how you actually sustain living. This is how to be a vegan. This is how to go into the woods and survive regardless, without technology, without a grocery store, without someone telling you what to do. Your company is that beacon of light here in the Twin Cities and in the world. So I'm very grateful again for this interview and for your platform and your mission as well. And that it coincides with Child Connect Productions. It coincides with 42 Music Label. And I also have an apparel company as well. It's called Power T Quotes. And we're getting into our sustainable, so we're definitely gonna talk. Like I said, I'm very grateful for it. And the support that you're giving my Black owned female ran business by having a podcast and having me featured to talk about this vital topic is support. So thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. And, Inclusivity is, as you said, it's my company, and we're a little bit of a break from selling things because we have I think you know that we got a patent for a new product. Maybe you don't know, but we got a patent for a new product that it's basically a product that you can share a design from a shirt to a bag and a jacket. And so the idea is you can have all these messages, but not have to have a piece of clothing for each message. So they're called shareables, and we're in the process of getting them launched. And we're so excited about that. And I want to talk to you about that after, because if you have a clothing line, we're in the process of figuring out a designer to help with some of our new designs. So I would love to talk with you about that when we're done here.
Yes.
And I want to say, you know, from my perspective, I love everything you just said. I think that it is that sense that I think if people could just focus on the fact that if you needed a lung, I could give you a lung as long as we matched as far as the blood. If you need a kidney, I can give you a kidney. There's no barrier across the color of our skin. The color of our skin is literally only the color of our skin.
Yeah.
It doesn't go deeper than that. It's not the type of blood we have. It's not the way our brain cells work. It's not the oxygen we need to breathe. That, if we could just get there, and then say part of then supporting a Black-owned business or supporting a Native-owned business is saying, and the playing field is not Ben level,
right?
So we need to actually focus on equity, not equality, but equity, where we are building people up who have historically not been treated fairly, so that suddenly there is a field where everyone is on that same level playing field. And the only way to do it is to actively work to support companies that are owned by people who have historically not gotten the privilege. My sister actually we have a collaborative page on Facebook, a Facebook group called Inclusivity Collaborative. And on that, she has posted several times lists of ways to support Black-owned businesses. Like, how do you find them in your community? How can you make sure that you're taking that step and not just saying, I'd like to do it, but actually doing it.
Actually taking the steps, yeah.
There's all sorts of things you can find online now that will help you sort of put your money where your mouth is. if you're going to say that you're going to support Black-owned businesses and then don't actually pay any attention, it's a nice thing to say.
It's nice to say.
But that's kind of all it is.
Yeah, and that's it. And we're not a community of empty words. We're a community of doers. We'll think of something and we'll plan it out and we'll take action. And I'm so thankful and grateful for the community that I was able to experience coming up here in North Minneapolis, because I was around that. I was around the Gary Hines that, you know, him and Mr. McKnight creating Sounds of Blackness, and they're a Grammy award-winning group. I was able to produce events with Debonair, who is an extraordinary producer of live events, and making sure that the legacy doesn't die with him, right? So I've been able to experience the support within the community, and we back up what we say, but we need everyone that doesn't look like us to say, you know what, instead of over there, I'm gonna call up this Black-owned business. Why I trust, why it's something different. Why? Because why not? Why not? And I think it's great what your friend did to give the steps, because everybody needs guidance, everybody needs steps, right? So Facebook, social media, Instagram is great. Look into, you know, the Insight newspaper, the Spokesman Recorder. Yep. Star Tribune has a couple of businesses and articles on us, but actually drive to North Minneapolis, drive down Broadway, drive to Lake Street, just drive, park, walk in some stores. Hi, how you doing? Great. What are you selling? Sounds good. I'll get one. At least one. At least one. This week, and I think I let you know that my artist Barry has three shows this week, and so does my other artist Angie Bay. And we were at the Black State Fair at the Midtown Global Market. It's going on for a full week, the Black Entrepreneurial State Fair. This is their third annual year. It's on Lake Street at the Midtown Global Market parking lot. It's from 12 to 7 p.m. $7 to get in, you guys. Go in and support these Black businesses. I was able to purchase this delicious autumn leaf spray. Oh my gosh, it's so good. It's from Salt of the Earth, Black-owned business. She's amazing. Made it from scratch. But that is a way that you guys can support. Go to the Black Entrepreneurial State Fair, Midtown Global Market. It's going on for an entire week. I know everybody's going to go to the State Fair.
That's right.
Yeah, you are. We have our tickets already, right? But have you gone to the Black State Fair?
No, and I don't artist, even know about it.
So. Yes, this Saturday I'll text you. I'll send you the information so you can
say, send me the information. If you're listening to the podcast, it's already happened. But make a note that it'll be here next year too. Yes. So make a note to remind yourself in August if you're around Minneapolis to look it up. And if you're not in Minneapolis, look in your area, see what's going on. Because I would venture to guess that in most large communities, there are things going on that you can do to support.
Most definitely. We're such a creative people. There's something every weekend going on somewhere wherein you would be able to support. And, you know, once you do, come back, tell a friend, yep. Come back, comment. We need reviews. We need reviews on Google. You know, keep it positive. It can be short and sweet. Organizations that are looking for, hey, I need a live event coordinator. You know, look to our community. Whatever it is that you need, we do the same.
Well, I love it. And I think you just said, you know, we're creative people. And I think what's important, really important about that is that our society is so much better because of the diversity.
Yes.
Our society is so much fuller and bigger and brighter and more beautiful.
Yes.
Of diversity.
Completely.
And so supporting businesses that are run, again, by people who were not traditionally the people that we're supporting in business is vitally important, because we are simply better and bigger and brighter and more alive and much more sustainable. And so I think that that's a key to your message, is that you know, we're creative people. So use us. So invite us. So participate. So pay us for our work and engage with us. And I think that that's a beautiful message. And I am so excited to see everything you do going forward. We will be working together going forward. There's just no question. And like I said, I want to talk with you about the clothing.
Yes.
Because I'm actively looking for a designer. So
I love it. I'm excited. It's going to be great, Lori.
It is going to be great, Lori. So everybody, this is Inclusivity. Our podcast hosts are Black Iowa News and Alliance for Sustainability. And this has been our guest, Jocelyn P. Johnson, who is just a dynamo entrepreneur and creative and kind of has it all. So Jocelyn, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. Peace and blessings to all the listeners and the watchers. I'm so thankful and grateful for the opportunity just to share, to be here, and to spread knowledge and wealth and light and love. Thank you very much, Lori.
Thank you, Jocelyn.
Appreciate you.